Hello and welcome back to the Missing Manual podcast, the home of idle ramblings and the occasional odd bit of useful information. Zach and Connor here to welcome you to the jungle. No, not the leafy one. This jungle has pavements, neon lights and angry drivers. You'd best have your wrist blades sharpened and your trophy case full of skulls because this is Predator Concrete Jungle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Missing Manual podcast. Like Zach said, we are back again, and this time we're going to actually get a bit more analytical up in here, right? We've done a lot of news, haven't we, recently, Zach? We've covered a lot of releases coming out soon.
They haven't given us a break, have they, to be honest?
We've so many.
Trying to look back towards the past, but all we can do is look forward at the moment with all these great games.
Forward to the future. And to be honest, if you've not caught our double part of newsreel episode, you should definitely check it out. We cover some fantastic games that are coming out within the next year to year and a half. There's some absolute bangers in there that I'm really looking forward to. And we're definitely going to be covering them again on the channel when they actually come out. But today, we're going back to the old school, and we're covering a game that's quite close to me and Zach's heart. I love playing it back in the day. It was definitely one of the standout titles, I think, on the PS2 for me, and that's Predator Concrete Jungle.
Yeah, really, really great game. There's a lot of, like you said, fond memories, lots of really good times to be had with that game. We've been kind of talking about it recently, and I can't help but feel that we've got the old nostalgia goggles on a little bit, though.
You know what? Incredibly. Yeah. I watched a playthrough the other day, and I watched it again last night, actually, on YouTube, some guy doing a playthrough of the game. And yeah, the game is old. The game is old.
It hasn't aged well, has it?
But no, it's quite old.
but quite honestly, like, I mean, I'm definitely one of those gamers that's kind of stuck in the past. I kind of like to stick to what I know. I know I like, you know. This is one of those titles that I will definitely go back to. I wouldn't consider it a comfort game, but it's definitely one of those games that I will visit on maybe every couple of years. I'll go back and play it just for shits and gigs.
It's a game I wish was actually more accessible nowadays, to be honest, because it obviously only ever released on two platforms. It never got a PC release, PC port or anything like that. And I don't think it's ever going to be remade or anything like that either, because I just don't think there's demand for it.
It's unlikely, yeah. And I think it is a bit of a shame. I mean, it was developed by Eurocom back in the day. This game came out in 2005. Now, Eurocom were a British-based company, but they're sadly no longer around. They filed for bankruptcy back in December of 2012. So it's unlikely that they'll rise out from the ashes to do a remaster or anything like that. Eurocom were also well known for games such as James Bond 007, Nightfire, and Crash Bash, as well as a whole bunch of movie video games as well, such as Batman Begins, Pirates of the Caribbean, At World's End, Ice Age 2, just to name a few.
Also, for the obscure gamers out there, they did two original IP games that you might have heard of, one called Sphinx and The Cursed Mummy. You've played that game?
I remember that one.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. And on the PS1, 40 Winks. You played 40 Winks?
No, never played that.
Oh my God, mate. 40 Winks was like a nightmare fuel game. It was, oh, dude. 40 Winks was a wild one. I actually got kind of, I don't know, I sort of had like a mini aneurysm when I saw it on the Wikipedia page when I was having a little kind of scroll through the company, because I was like, holy shit, I can't believe, I forgot about that game.
That's just unlocked some hidden nightmares buried in your subconscious.
Honestly, it was a game that, like, you play these two kids who, like, kind of go to bed and they wake up in this, like, nightmare dream world, basically.
There are a lot of games that have played around with that concept, right?
Yeah, and, oh, man, it was just a really weird, unsettling game. And it was old, obviously, as well, old PS1 game, right? And, like, the kids could, like, transform into, like, different kind of, they have different abilities and stuff like that. It was just a very weird game, proper weird game. But, yeah, not really Predator related, but that blew my mind.
I'm going to have to look that up. That sounds quite intriguing, especially with PS1 graphics as well. You know it's going to be, like, terrifying.
Yeah, it's like, I imagine it's probably not that scary anymore, to be honest, but when you're playing as a kid, right, it looks kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And it looks kind of unsettling. I don't know, when you see the cover for the game, maybe you might be like, oh shit, I remember 40 Winks now.
It may jog my memory, yeah, but I don't know, from off the top of my head, I can't remember it.
No, I did have it back in the day, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe, like, whoa, 40 Winks, I've not heard of that game in ages. It was like, there's a picture of it there, mate. It was like a core memory was unlocked in my head when I saw it.
You've synced a little bit more with the Animus.
Yeah, literally, dude.
That doesn't
it was just
about.
Such a weird game.
One of the characters looks like Dora the Explorer, though.
She does, doesn't she? The characters were called like Rough and Tumble.
Do you know what, though, right? Looking at the graphics, that kind of reminds me of Grabbed by the Ghoulies a little bit.
It had a lot of Grabbed by the Ghoulie vibes, actually, in it.
Yeah.
It was just a really obscure game. Like, I don't remember many people I knew play it. I happened to have it on PS1. But it was just, I don't know. It was an experience. I'm going to have to do a watch of that again, actually, because that's kind of in my mind now.
That sounds good. I may do that as well.
And Sphinx. Like I said, Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy. That was also
remember Sphinx, well. Yeah.
And that one recently got a port to Switch as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they remaster it, or is it just in its...
No, I don't know. I think it's original port and maybe like an upscaling, but...
Fair enough.
I don't think it's like they've done too much work to it.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah,
but the Switch one's got quite good reviews, and like I've said before, right? I think the Switch is a good place for those games.
Yeah, definitely.
Those old games, I think a lot of old games, right, have been brought back to life from going on the Switch.
A lot of it's just down to them being not too graphically demanding, right?
So. Yeah, exactly. A lot of them are quite old, right? Especially this game, which was also a PS2 Xbox game, also GameCube game as well from back in the day. Sphinx was fun. I think this is a really, really cool game.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I like seeing old games like that. Now we just need Predator Concrete Jungle to happen. But
exactly. Sadly, Predator Concrete Jungle.
It can happen for Sphinx. It can happen for Predator. All right. I'm just saying.
I don't think it's a game they're going to visit again. Like I said, obviously, the company, for one, isn't there anymore to even do anything with it, which is a shame. And yeah, it's just, I don't know where they would go with it, obviously, right? We've talked about this a little bit before, but Predator in itself is a very weird IP, I find.
IP is in limbo, isn't it, for sure?
Yeah.
It's in creative limbo.
It's a shame, obviously, because, the first film was so iconic, the second film as well was so iconic, and ever since then, really, it feels like, I don't know, the Predator films have been almost fighting for their life, and the games haven't done much better, you know what I mean?
Yeah, almost like they're trying to fight, trying to excuse a reason to be around, right?
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be that way, and there is enough source material as we'll go into explain a little bit later as well. There's so much to draw from, and it just feels like it's just fallen by the wayside. I can't wrap my head around it personally.
It's just very weird. It's such an iconic, thing, isn't it? Like such an iconic, franchise. It's so weird to see that it's never a game like this hasn't been picked up again.
We're saying that like they're not still making films though. I mean, they are, it's not like Prey, right? They're still making things, and we don't know, it could be really, really good, but
I mean that's not even coming to cinemas.
I'm not really keeping my hopes up for it.
Insulting this straight to streaming platform service, whatever like that, obviously, because there's plenty of big budget films that get added straight to streaming platforms, right?
Definitely, yeah.
I don't know. It's obviously for a thing like that, that's been in limbo for quite a while, doesn't really
it's probably been in limbo longer than we realize. We kind of see this game as a bit of a shining example of what a good Predator game could be.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
I mean, critically, it was panned. It was a bit of a critical failure back in the day.
It was, wasn't it? It
seldom reached more than a 5 out of 10 rating on most review, most magazines and stuff at the time. So
yeah, I think your mileage, right, varies, especially if you like Predator games.
Yeah.
You like Predator in general. Like, I like Predator, right? We like Predator. Therefore, I feel like we are a bit biased towards liking it more, right?
Definitely.
And we can see through some of the flaws, because for us, it's like, oh, it's a good Predator game,
And I think that's kind of a shame, really, because...
Yeah.
Is that just because there aren't any other good ones out there? Is this the only one that's sort of mediocre, so it looks great against the rest?
I mean, what I think is quite good about it, one of the best things about it, that obviously separates it from a lot of the modern games that have Predator in it, is it's just a single player game at its core. There's nothing fancy here. It's just a pure single player experience, which I think is really good for the Predator games, right? But since then, we've not really had any single player Predator games. Obviously, you had a single player campaign in the Alien versus Predator game that Rebellion did.
Yeah,
fun, but not very long, right? Or substantial. And quite recently, you've had Predator Hunting Grounds come out, but that is purely a multiplayer game.
I think you're absolutely hit the nail on the head with that one, with regards to the fact that it just needs to be a single player experience. The Predators, other than in the Aliens versus Predator film, right, when else do you see them with other hunters? They're normally alone, aren't they?
Yeah, they are
all the time. So it kind of, they, because they don't need the backup, they're pretty formidable on their own anyway, right? So it's just one of those things. And I also think, I think Predator games are better in third person, in my opinion. I think the gameplay for Predator Concrete Jungle, I think, is better than that of, say, the Aliens versus Predator one that you mentioned there.
Yeah.
First person, I just feel like it's a little cumbersome.
And I mean, Hunting Grounds is also first person, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's. Yeah. Is it first person for the human players and third person for the Predator?
I'm not too sure. I think it was first person for the Predator as well.
Because I thought it was a little bit like, Dead by Daylight, you know, where you've got it's the other way around, isn't it? On there, you've got the first person for the monsters and third person.
Yeah.
When I played it, I played the Predator in third person.
So. Oh, no, it isn't third person. Yeah. Shows how much I know about the game.
Yeah, because I played the demo way back.
Yeah.
People
do say that, like, that game, the Predator plays quite well in that game, right? It feels like they're already halfway there. They can just take that into and make a single player campaign out of it, you know?
Yeah. I feel there are a lot of people that just don't like the multiplayer element, that would just rather have a single player experience. Yeah. And you've got people on the other side of the fence that don't want to bother with the, you know, the campaign at all, and they just want the multiplayer, which is fine. You know, it's each to their own. But
this is quite good as a third person. You know, like, the Predator looks quite good in this game.
Yeah, and there's loads of, like, really cool skins for it as well. Like, I know there's one in there that you'd like. There's a samurai one.
I've seen a Viking one as well.
There's a Viking one. Yeah, there's loads of different skins, and you know, that's kind of. That's quite cool, isn't it? You know, that's a pretty cool. I don't fuck with cosmetics, but when it's the Predator,
but like that's example, right? That's clear example, right, of a game, because that game didn't do too well when it came out. Obviously, it bounced around quite a lot. It was also an Epic exclusive as well, which hurt it a little bit. Because apart from that, it was only on PlayStation before it eventually came to Steam recently. I don't know how well it's doing now. It's on Steam, but obviously because it's a multiplayer game, right? It's always going to be dictated by the amount of people that are still playing actively.
Definitely,
You can't just enjoy it like you could Predator Concrete Jungle, for example. You can play it anytime, anywhere, because it's an old game.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of modern gaming, though, isn't it, really? A lot of games are dictated by their multiplayer potential, because that's kind of the here and now. It's what a lot of people want.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially in the last couple of years, I feel like we're it's kind of like, it's turning again back to more single player focused games, which I'm quite liking. But we need some more of this, man, because the Predator needs to have its day. I don't feel like it's had its heyday yet. We can't just
literally
let
not.
It slip away, you know?
Yeah, it just feels like there's, like you said, right? It's just not had that chance really to shine. Obviously, looking at this game and going back and watching, you know, this game being played and stuff like that, right? You can clearly see the problems. Obviously, right? This is a 2005 game. This is an old game, right? We have to paraphrase that completely. It's an old game. I think it has problems that were, you know, synonymous with games of the age, you know?
Yeah. They were problems that were even problems back then. Nowadays you look back at it and you go, yeah, there's some startlingly difficult things to get past.
There's some situations happening here, right?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of it's just down to the basic controls, really. A lot of the I found a lot of the platforming segments a little bit cumbersome to try and get around.
Jumping around in that game as well was also a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah. While it's really cool, because, I mean, the Predator can jump in excessively high. You know, you can do like that charge jump, and you can jump up half of a building, which is really cool. There's no, say, for instance, you want to jump from one building to the other. You've got to stop, charge, then jump. You can't just jump on the go, and it's not fluid like a lot of modern games are these days. So that's kind of an issue. The combat is very basic, you know, kind of core gameplay features we're looking at here. You've got ranged combat as well. There's some ranged weapons and so on and so forth as well. But it leaves a little bit to be desired. It doesn't have that kind of that fluid motion that you have with a lot of combat games. Like we were talking earlier about the Batman Arkham games and how great the combat would be if you had a Predator in that kind of situation where you could seamlessly flow from one enemy to the other in close combat, and then the stealth segments as well for it. That would work so well for a Predator game, and it baffles me why they haven't done that yet.
Yeah, no, I definitely see that. I definitely see what you mean there. Like, as soon as you said that, I was like, no, that would totally make a lot of sense. Like, the Arkham games obviously are quite kind of they kind of look very clumbersome. Like the combat looks very clumbersome, but it makes sense, right? When you play it, like the way Batman, you know, jumps around, the impact behind Batman's punches, it all feels very weighty, very meaty. And yeah. I feel like that's the same kind of combat you'd get from the Predator as well, right? Because he's like, you know, this ultimate hunter, right? But at its core, he's quite a meaty boy, isn't he?
The takedowns, instead of just knocking them out like Batman does, you just skull rip a motherfucker, you know? Like it would translate so easily. Even if you threw in a little bit of like Assassin's Creed free running, I could even see a Predator doing that in fairness, because they are, for their size and considering they're so powerful, they are incredibly agile creatures as well. Mm. And you seldom get that representation within the films and within some of the games as well.
Yeah. And this game, Concrete Jungle, especially. So this game actually came out close to the Alien vs. Predator film, didn't it?
It was the year after. So it was actually year after, 2004, and this game came out in 2005. Yeah,
which is quite interesting. It obviously uses a few things that were synonymous in that film, right? As well, some of the weapons you see in the film make an appearance, obviously, in this game, such as the very fancy, disc with the long blades on it.
Yeah, it's almost like a Predator shuriken, isn't it?
Yeah, like the shuriken one, which is fucking cool. And I guess it's interesting to see like the direction it went, I guess, with that film in production as well, right? And if that really made much of a difference to how they did their Predator. Because obviously I think the Predator's name is Predator, right? They're quite big, aren't they? Quite bulky.
They are, yeah. They're huge.
And the Predator in this, you play as, who's called Scarface, right? He's also quite big and bulky, isn't he?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, all predators inherently are like, they're genetic super freaks. They're built. They are absolutely stacked. It's muscles upon muscles, isn't it? Yeah. They're bred to hunt and to kill. That's just what they do.
I think it's more the armor thing, because like, if you look at the Predator from Predator 2, right, obviously he's got more of like the netting thing going on here, like the fishnet type look.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas, like I said, the Predator from that one, he has like a lot more of the chest armor, the shoulder piece armor type thing.
Yeah, you have to think as well, the Predators in AVP, they're going to the Arctic as well, so they might need a little bit more covering, because it's true. A bit brisk out there, isn't it, in the Arctic Circle.
So to do maybe a quick rundown for the plot, just to get people on kind of the page of what this game storyline rather revolves around, right? So you play as a Predator, don't you?
You do, yeah. So as you mentioned, he's kind of nicknamed Scarface. That's not actually his real name. It's just a kind of a moniker that he's given by one of the characters in the game.
On brand, right? Isn't it with other Predator things? In that most Predators don't have actual names, rather than fan given names that become canon.
That's it, yeah. And a lot of the comics as well, they're kind of given names by the human characters. They're like, they just have nicknames, don't they? This one kind of starts out as most Predator stories do. Your character Scarface is on the hunt. This one's starts in 1930 in a fictional city called New Way City, and it looks suspiciously like New York. Yeah, a little bit. So it kind of starts off as a bit of a tutorial mission, so you can kind of see how the game works and so on and so forth. It kind of throws you in the deep end. So it's one of those games that kind of jumps back and forth on the timeline. So you don't actually get to fully understand what happens on that hunt in 1930 until you've played the entire game, because you get some flashback segments.
Yeah, you only get a little bit of a start, don't you, where he's running away.
Pretty much, yeah. But he's
after killing someone.
Your character looks proper beat up. Scarface is in a bad way. He's all mangled, and he's been shot through the eye, and he's in a bad way. So he tries to get back to his ship after succeeding in the hunt, but unfortunately, he has given himself away, and he's kind of exposed his race to humankind. Humankind are kind of aware of him, so he's trying to get back to his ship, and he gets crushed under some rubble. So he tries to blow. He tries to use the self-destruct device on his ship and blow himself up, but he survives. Destroys the entire city. So New Way City is just reduced to a crater, basically. The other clan members turn up, and Scarface is shamed and exiled.
Not dead, most importantly.
Not dead. Even though he blew himself up, still alive.
Also, slight inconsistency there. Just want to throw in. Yeah, I always thought that the whole destruction thing was on the wrist.
Yeah, it normally is. Yeah,
not on the ship.
So yeah, I'm not sure why they did that. But if the main character died in the first tutorial mission, you'd
true. True. It does make he took it off and just put it in his ship for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, but he still has the device. That's how he triggers the bomb. But the bomb is set on his ship for some reason. Anyway, so yeah, he it doesn't make a lot of sense. But stick with me. So he gets sent into exile for 100 years on some godforsaken rock in the middle of space. The clan leave him there with nothing but a glaive, and he has to fend off this hostile alien life form. So that's all kind of told within a cutscene.
That do sort of look like xenomorphs, but aren't xenomorphs.
Yeah, because they've got like four legs. They've got like four stabby legs. They almost look like, you know, the vulture droids from Star Wars. They kind of, they got a little bit of that going on.
I always thought like a xenomorph, but like a scorpion xenomorph.
Kinda, yeah.
That's how I always like thought about them. And to be honest, like, you know, we were talking about the alien, right? Don't you? That the alien adapts, doesn't it, to its surroundings?
It does. Yeah, they could very well be.
Who's to say they aren't? You know, aliens that are just on there, obviously. And you've got this weird other race of, I don't know, scorpion monster things that they've just, you know, assimilated with.
That's it. They've just, you know, stuck them on a planet. So, you know, because I assume it's like the clan's prison planet. So they've probably populated it with nasties so they can send their disgraced predators. If they survive, then that's good for you. You've redeemed yourself.
Well, that's the thing, right, isn't it? Our boy obviously does go on to live, gets picked up by his clan again, but he's still dishonored, isn't he?
Yes, yeah, he is. And it's kind of cool because you get a little bit of an insight just that, like, the lifespan of a predator, right? Because, you know, his clan bugger off for 100 years. They come back and he's still looking strong and mean.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit older, but still looking, you know, proper tough and capable. So they must live for a long, long time, right?
Natural lifespan, quite big.
yeah, exactly. So they can come back and hunt us time and time again, right?
Yeah.
So the clan pick him up and they're like, bad shit's happened, right? The humans, yeah, the humans that you so foolishly exposed us to, they've managed to reverse engineer the hunting tools you left behind. And now the humans are fighting back. So, you know, kind of shows him some footage of another hunt that went to Earth and they were met with extreme resistance. The humans had turned their weapons against them and built up this new city using that technology called Neonopolis. So
the city of light.
The city of light. So it's Scarface's job and the kind of the main plot of the story. You have to go back to the city that you destroyed and you have to systematically pick it apart once again and erase any trace of Predator technology, which I thought was very interesting, right? Because the humans in this story, they refer to the Predator technology as Prometheus tech.
Oh,
which I thought was quite an interesting little nod.
That's kind of cool, isn't it?
This was many years before Prometheus came out, right?
Yeah.
And that's not the only link to the alien universe that we have in the game. So obviously I will slap a big old spoiler warning on now. If you want to go and play the game for yourself, if
big
that's
spoiler
enough, then you crack on. But there is actually a segment of the game where the xenomorph turn up.
They do two missions, right?
Yeah. So, and funnily enough, this is all part of the same mission where you find out that Mother is also in this as well. You know, the computer from the Alien film, you know, the one that's installed in the Stromo. So you find out that Mother is actually a genetic computer. So it's a human wired up to a machine. The human wired up to that machine that Mother, that's called Mother, is actually the main antagonist's mother, which is the woman Isabella who shot Scarface in the eye in the beginning. So it kind of comes full circle with it. There's this whole kind of weird, she kind of loves him. She kind of loves the Predator because
there's some weirdness there, right?
There's some weirdness. Yeah. There's some definite like xeno euphoric. I don't even know how to begin to explain it, but yeah.
As this Predator, you basically then go through, right, don't you? Trying to earn your honor back, trying to earn your gear back, and basically getting to that same level you were before on that first night you were at the humans before, you know, you almost killed yourself.
Pretty much, yeah. So, and you kind of start from the lowly gangs because there's like gang warfare rife throughout Neonopolis. So the Predator starts with Les Serviteurs, who are they're like the Jamaican voodoo posse from Predator 2, right?
Yes, and King Willy.
Yeah, and it's funny because the main character, the kind of the boss of Le Serviteur is also called King Willy, yeah. which I thought was great.
Throw back to the second Predator film there, basically. And in all fairness, that bit does, I think, more than any other part of the game, make you feel like you're kind of in Predator 2.
Definitely.
Because of like the open world section you get as well, you get like a little bit of an open world area, which you do for all the missions, which are quite cool. Obviously, this area is not massive by any sense of the imagination, but it is made in quite a cool way in that it kind of gives the player the illusion of kind of more room than they really have.
That's right, yeah. So you don't, I mean, there are certain missions that kind of keep you on the straight and narrow because you might be like, certain character and you can't lose sight of them and so on and so forth. But there are a lot of missions that give you kind of free roam. You can go and different areas of the city, you can go and have a bit of a tit about and go kill some people if you want to. Yeah, that's completely up to you. What I also really like about the game as well, to add to that as well, that you've also got the... there is kind of like, even though you're a hunter and you're a superhuman alien, there are still rules. There are rules to the hunt. So there are civilians running around in the city as well. And if you score too many dishonorable kills, if you accidentally kill civilians and so on and so forth, that can actually fail the hunt as well. And you will be dishonored and you have to start the level again.
You've got honor, man.
Dishonor upon your cow, upon your family.
On your clan.
On your clan. Yeah, exactly. So there's... That was quite an interesting little kind of addition to the core gameplay as well.
And the actual Predator himself, he has some quite spicy weapons, isn't he? We kind of talked about a little bit at the start, right, on the different weapons you see in the game. And these weapons are obviously heavily inspired by the films and the comics and all that kind of stuff. There's all sorts here. If you're familiar with Predators, there's the classic, like the wrist blades, the plasma caster, the combi stick, the smart disc, which was always really fun to use because people just end up getting like, completely bisected by
bisected, don't they? Yeah.
You've also got the glaive and the maul as well.
Yeah, all really, really cool. So the just for kind of a little bit of insight to that. So the combi stick, the glaive, and the maul, they all kind of inhabited that same slot in the. So you could only equip one of them at the time, and that was kind of like the heavy melee attack, if you will. The combi stick is kind of fast, low damage, but has a high knockdown. The glaive is the middle ground between the two and has kind of like a slashing and bleed chance, which is quite good.
And the glaive was always really nice, yeah.
The glaive was my favorite, definitely. And then the maul is like this big, brutal, slow, heavy damage blade weapon that was great for like taking on bosses and stuff like that. But yeah, again,
the maul was a beast.
It was a beast, but because it's slow, it leaves you kind of open and vulnerable to other attacks, you know, kind of more agile opponents, if you will. So that was kind of cool. The wrist blades are obviously your kind of your light melee staple. Attack. And that also you also had the option to use your bare hands as well. So instead of just like chopping somebody up, you could put the wrist blade away and you could literally grab and manhandle somebody. So you just grab them by the face.
Oh, yeah.
You could run around. You can carry human sized enemies in one hand and like jump up buildings and stuff like that. So
it was also quite nice as well. And something you never really saw too much at the time as well was detail on kind of kill animations as well.
There was a few
kind of unique kill animations here and there, depending on what weapon you used and what angle you came from. There was also environmental kills as well, such as you're stringing people up when you've like skinned them, or
crushing their head against the wall.
Yeah, breaking their back on the rails.
Yeah,
that kind of thing, right? Like there was a lot of kind of gruesome and a bit grotty kill animations that were in the game, which were really nice, actually. You know, really fit the Predator vibe there.
Oh, it does. Yeah, I mean, they go the whole hog. You know, there's skull rips. There's people getting bisected. Like the one with the bare hands is great when he just basically like picks them up by the leg and the arm, and he just twists their torso and then tears them in half using the arm and the leg. Like that's just wow. That's
like opening up a tin can.
Yeah. So like already, like just with that, you get the real impression of just how powerful and agile the Predator is.
Oh yeah, that's completely.
That's one of the real strengths of this game, is that it showcases just how great the Predators are as a species. And, you know, and Scarface is, and you know, he's kind of like an exceptional example of that as well.
It very much plays to the Predator fantasy when you play this game. Like I said, the game has issues and flaws, but at its core, it is very true and very faithful to kind of how you would expect a Predator to play in a video game. Like, I think one of the best things that I enjoy doing in this game and I loved having in this game were the vision modes. Right?
Yes.
Like that's taken straight from the film. Right? It's so cool to have that because the game is primarily played in third person, obviously. But when you're in these vision modes, you can go into first person, can't you, to kind of zoom around.
You can
look into things. And you can scan people. You can kind of hear their heartbeat. you get a little bit of information about them and stuff like that as well, which can sometimes give you some valuable clues into how to defeat the enemy.
Yeah, it'd actually give you like a full rundown of their weaknesses and strengths and stuff like that. It's super cool, man.
And it's really great. Like the film, like they've taken like literally the sound effects are like one for one, aren't they? When you're swapping between the modes, when you're like zooming in, when you're locking on with a plasma caster, you know, with the triangle, right?
Yes, like, yeah.
It's literally, you know, Predator, right? It's exactly
what Predator. What I liked as well, it was a really cool little bit of attention to detail. So obviously, as you go through the game, you have like bonus objectives that will allow you to unlock upgraded hunting gear, increased attributes like health and energy, and skins as well. And depending on which skin you selected would actually dictate the sound effects that came along with the vision mode as well.
Yep.
So like there is a skin which is called the Alien Hunter, which is the skin from Aliens versus Predator, the 2004 film. And there are different sound effects used for the vision modes within the film, and they use those sound effects from the film.
It's a very cool bit of detail, isn't it?
They do it with the
there's also the City Hunter skin, isn't there, as well?
There's the City Hunter, which is the Predator, and the Jungle one from the original Predator film as well. And they have the classic sounds to them as well. So it's really cool. And like you said, brilliant attention to detail.
It's fantastic attention to detail. Like, you know, just for that, like having that kind of bit extra to go for. You had like the Concrete Jungle, which is obviously the default one, the Jungle one. You said Predator 1, City Hunter, Predator 2. There was also the Alien vs Predator one as well.
Dark Blade clan, and that one was quite cool, and they had like, it's almost like purplish kind of carbon looking metal, a little bit more kind of kind of more industrial, maybe even a little bit military,
a little bit, yeah. I think the Ritual one was kind of cool as well. That one's like got a lot of skulls on it.
That was cool, yeah. That one actually reminded me a lot of the... Do you remember the Discmaster, one of the units from Aliens versus Predator Extinction?
Yes.
And they had all the skulls on the shoulders and on the back as well, yeah?
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of that one, actually. And then there was also what was it? There were the... Because you actually fight at certain points in the campaign as well, you fight other Predators that have been kind of brainwashed and reprogrammed by the humans. I'm trying to think what they were called now. But they were from a clan, and
might be the Dark Blade clan.
I don't know, because they have different names as well, like Long Knife and
Another one called Bad Blood as well.
Bad Blood, Bad Blood, yeah, that's the
yeah, that one's sort of like a tainted Predator type thing.
That's the one, yeah. So you can actually change your skin to look like the Bad Blood Predators.
Yeah,
thank you for remembering that. That would have driven me insane.
and to be fair, it's cool to have that that kind of Predator costume thing, but that's not kind of all they had in the game, was there? There was also, I actually really liked this one. I thought this was a really nice feature, and that was the kind of the ship menu that you could go into.
So you could
go into a Predator ship menu, which was straight out of the second film. Like, it looks identical to the second film in terms of layout and stuff like that.
On there
you can see obviously all your kills and whatnot, and your weapons, but the kill bit was what was super interesting, because you actually got these skulls you could click on and you could see them, couldn't you, in like 3D?
Yeah, and you had like a bio of the... So the only skulls that would be displayed there are the boss characters that you claim the trophy from. But there were like, I don't know, maybe 24 bosses, I think, throughout the entire game. So 24 skulls to collect. It was like 20-odd, wasn't it?
And to be fair, these are also quite, you know... They're quite detailed, actually.
And they're all unique.
They're all unique. They've all got different bits about them. Obviously, like the Last of a Turskull, King Willy, his has got like these kind of markings on them. You've got the dead men, the goth guys who've got like vampire fangs.
Yeah.
And obviously, like you said, the actual hunters as well, the other Predators, right?
Yeah, it's really cool. You get to, because they're beyond repair, they're brainwashed.
Yeah.
You get to claim them as trophies, and it's the big lad. I like the big lad. He's like a berserker. He's really cool.
I was quite like
his skull. It's huge.
The long spear one that had the Predator mask actually attached to the skull, like it was welded to the face.
Cool. That was really cool. Yeah, he was the ranged one, wasn't he?
He was the ranged one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I think
it was like a Predator sniper almost, wasn't he?
The one you're talking about was, I was just looking at a video quickly, called, I think it's Stoneheart, wasn't it?
Long Knife was the other one, then he was like a scout, wasn't he?
He has like Agent 47 barcode on his head.
Yeah.
That was super cool, because once again, right, that was straight out of the film, you know. There's that scene, isn't there, in the second one where, you know, he's making the skull, isn't he? He's cleaning it up, putting it on the rack with all the other skulls. Yeah. Like, it was basically that scene, but from the film in the game.
It's great as well. I mean, yeah. Sadly, the only thing that you don't get to do is claim a Xeno skull, even though there are Xenomorphs in it. You don't. There isn't like a super duper boss one that you can claim a skull from, which I think is a bit of a missed opportunity. That would have been really cool.
Yeah, to be fair, but, like I said, the aliens are thrown in, right, aren't they? But honestly, their kind of in inclusion isn't. It's not massively integral, is it? Like, they're just kind of.
It's
there. Not.
It's just a bit of a nod, isn't it? I think it ties. It's probably a little bit on the nose, if I'm being honest with you, because every other link to the Alien franchise is quite it's quite cleverly done, and it does tie in, but like actually having the Xenomorphs there in the game, it was a little bit on the nose, and it was like, guess what, they're still part of the same universe. And it was like, yeah, we know, but like
especially because you have like Weyland Yutani here, don't you, as well?
Yes, that's right. Line. Yeah, in the closing kind of sequence of the game, there is a representative from the Yutani Corporation, and they're talking about the merger, obviously, with Weyland. And Carl Bishop Weyland, the actual character from Aliens vs. Predator that gets killed in Antarctica, there is actually a part in the game where Hunter, the main antagonist that we've mentioned before, he mentions that he knew Weyland. He actually knew him.
Yeah.
So that'll kind of give you an indication of like kind of how it all kind of ties together. It's pretty good. And they've done a really good job, like we've said, of staying really, really faithful to the source material and tying it all into the larger narrative.
Very much so. Like, and even we talked about obviously the trophy menu, but even the weapon menu had it like a 3D mode, didn't it? Where you kind of look at the weapons in kind of closer.
And what's cool is, like we said, you know, you can earn upgraded versions of them. You can see all of them, even the ones that you had initially. So you can see it in stages and all of the little additions that you add to the weapons to make them up to the top tier. And I always liked it because the kind of the later versions, they were a lot more like ornamental, and you had the combi stick, I thought was pretty good as well. Like I think it's the second version you get, and it's adorned with like feathers and trinkets and stuff like that.
It sort of reminds me once again Predator 2, you know, the elder Predator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The really old one with the cloak and the combi stick.
And the flintlock pistol. That's probably one of my favourite Predators, like, look-wise.
Oh, that's a sick Predator, isn't it?
Cool. Yeah.
That's such a cool design. Such a well-designed Predator.
Yeah, very cool. And that's it. Like, what I love about Predators in general is that you can just look at the design of their, like, their of what they wear, and it tells a story. Without them having to speak English to be able to explain it to you can actually just tell a Predator story from the scars that he bears,
exactly,
and from the things that he adorns his hunting gear with.
Like you can get a real sense of time and scale with that Predator as well, right? Which is something that the Hunting Ground guys, I will admit, have done really well with their costume DLCs for the Predator, because all of their Predators look very thematic for the area and the time period they would have been in.
Yeah.
You know, even down to just something as simple as the hairstyle, you know. Predators obviously have those kind of dreadlock tendrils, right?
You know?
The Hunting Ground guys, they've done some fantastic designs where you can kind of see the hair, it matches kind of their theming. So the samurai one, for example, his hair is like slicked back in like a top knot kind of deal. There's also an Egyptian themed one, sort of Cleopatra-esque, and their one is like heavily braided backwards, very much like ancient Egyptian hair.
Yes, maybe. Yeah. I still think, obviously, they're doing Prey. I think they've missed the trick with maybe what they should have done is had a Predator in feudal Japan. That would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been really cool, to be fair.
I'd have liked to have seen that. That would have been pretty decent.
That would have been awesome, to be honest, man.
Yeah. We got a little bit of a tease of what that would be like with the Yakuza guy at the end of Predators, right?
So, which was a good one as well.
That'd have been legit, man. That'd have been so cool.
That would have been defo legit. Like, it's very interesting to see like what they're going to do with the Predator stuff going forward. Like we said, Concrete Jungle is an old game now. And also, like I said as well, it's a game that's not very accessible either to the masses nowadays, right?
Yeah.
It honestly depends what we want to do with it. Obviously, I don't even know who has the rights to Predator anymore, because there was an awkward, like, I want to say 21st Century Fox, but I remember there was a big debate about like the original creator's potential, something like that. Like someone was trying to sue someone over it.
Yeah.
So I have honestly no idea like what their plan is, but
yeah,
the character has such mileage still and such, you know, so many more things they can do with it. It's
potential, man. It's at the moment it's squandered, and they can they can turn that around. It just
Concrete Jungle, I think, is definitely a Predator IP that could make a very cool modern game, you know, because the storyline itself is quite good. Like, I watched someone's review, and I'm not going to call the person out, but it was a fairly popular review on the game, one of the only ones on YouTube. You probably find it if you look for it. But his review, I don't know, like, he was, I think he was very much treating the game like it was a modern game.
Just, yeah, overly critical, right?
Yeah, overly critical. Our animations look trash in the cutscenes, stuff like that, and they do look a bit weird, yes. But, like, it's old. It's an old game. It's a 2005 game, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so it looks old. The gameplay is a bit old. And the cutscenes are also a bit old. But the storyline throughout is not bad, actually. And if anything, it's better than some of the more modern Predator storylines they're putting out.
Yeah. I mean, from an animation perspective, I can understand when they cut, especially because you think, right, I think it was 2005, 2006 We were starting to transition over into, like, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 territory, weren't we?
We were starting to enter, but, you know, it was still a bit of time off, right?
So, you know, considering we're not far away from moving on into a generation, it does, yeah, maybe it does feel like it's a little bit behind schedule of where it should be graphically.
Yeah.
But I will always be one of those people that I don't think graphics is everything. If you can present me with a fun game, it doesn't have to be bells and whistles, shiny anti-aliasing 4K Ultra. It doesn't have to be that way.
No.
All I need is a game that's fun to play. That's what we need.
Yeah. And like I said, this game, while being old, while being a little bit clunky, it's a fun game to play. You know, it's a very, very fun game to play. I would love to see some way it gets, you know, way more accessible to the masses. It needs to get out there.
Yeah.
A lot of these games,
I totally agree.
Especially AMS Predator Extinction, right? When we talk about that game, another game that's just, I think, unknown by the masses, really. It's sort of one of those games that's a little bit, you know, under the radar.
I think it's a shame because these games as well, they add so much to the universe as well.
The
wealth of just information that you can get from Aliens versus Predator Extinction, say, for instance. The bestiary alone is a game in itself.
Yeah.
Looking at all the bios for the different types of characters and the different breeds of alien and the different predators and the military predators and stuff like that. I could go on all day about that. It's brilliant.
It has such a fantastic kind of rich lore world behind it as well. So it's interesting to see. Obviously, Hunting Grounds isn't that old of a game. So, and that was made, you know. So it's very much still on, you know, I think whoever owns the IP, Fox, whoever it may be, I think it's still on their mind, obviously, right, that Predator is a franchise that people like still. I mean, Marvel actually are doing a new comic series of Predator as well.
Yeah, exactly. So,
which is actually throughout this month, but it's been delayed to August now, but it is coming out.
Yeah, and that's it. It's still out there. People know what the Predator is. It's not like it's a forgotten relic of a bygone era.
No,
Predator is still current. It just hasn't quite hit the right notes.
And it just hasn't found its way with the games, I guess, and the media that they've been doing for it. Right, very much like we said in our last episode when we spoke about the new sci-fi horror games, very much like the Alien films as well, the Alien games. Also kind of at a bit of a bum note, you know, as of recent times, compared to what it used to have. But I feel like Predator never actually even had that, you know. Concrete Jungle was good, right, but it never had critical acclaim. It would be so cool to see just a modern day single player Predator game again.
It would, yeah. You've
got a very good basis here. Obviously, I don't know if they were to do it, would they copy it word for word? Probably not. But taking the kind of gameplay mechanics that made that so good would be a fantastic start, you know.
Yeah, that's it. You think now we're a good 15 years down the line plus. There is a lot has changed. A lot has changed. Yeah, and a lot has, you know, the gaming universe has come a long way since then. There's so much that they can add to this to make it better. You know, it's just about, there just has to be a developer that's willing to take the chance and the time to make it right.
Mm.
That's what it comes down to, really.
Exactly. And who knows? Who knows? Perhaps there is something happening. Perhaps, you know, there is a single player Predator game in the works. If so, I mean, that would definitely be on my radar for sure, because it's just not something we've had experience with recently, you know. Like, I still haven't properly played Hunting Grounds, so I don't know if I will. You know, it's quite expensive as it is on its own.
And it's another asymmetric game, right?
I play a lot of asymmetric games, yeah. So I'm used to it. I like the genre, don't get me wrong. But like I said at the start, right, it's always gauged pretty much exclusively by if you've got players playing your game, basically, you know?
Yeah.
If you've got the players playing it, then there's nothing else for the game to do because you can't play it single player, you know? Like, I feel like Hunting Grounds has quite a good base, actually, because you've got the Predator in third person. You've got a very decent control scheme from what I've seen. You could easily take that into maybe a single player game, you know?
Yeah. I think that there is room for it. Like we've said, we've been playing, Aliens, the Fireteam Elite game.
Yes.
And that's still alive. You know, I mean, the player base is very, very diminished, but
of course, yeah.
As long as you've got friends to go on there with, it's perfectly fine.
You can still play it, right?
It is playable in, like, you can play it single player, but it's not as good as it could be. And I think what we need is a game that, regardless of whether that you have people or not, it's still good in single player.
Exactly, because you can play this game, right, single player, right? Because it's such an old game, you know, it doesn't require anything else. And obviously it also harks back to the days of old games having collectibles and old games having, you know, everything kind of in one package, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't about trophies or achievements. It was like the achievement was in the content that you unlocked within the game. So that was how you kind of gauged your success was, have I unlocked the bonus objective for this mission or so on and so forth, right? So
obviously we also leaned quite heavily on, we were talking about Time Splitters back in our Time Splitters episode, right?
Yeah, same deal, mate.
Old game design versus new game design and the fact that obviously back in those days, right, there we didn't really have DLC or anything like that. So new content and more content for the game, it just had to be built in from day one.
It did, yeah. Unlockables.
I think costumes is one of maybe the oldest things known to man, you know, like so many old games, right, have an unlockable costume feature of some matter, you know. I always like it when games nowadays still kind of follow that trend, you know.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of the time it's just, it's easy to slap it in as a cash grab and have a microtransaction for it, right?
Give us
£2 for the costume and you can have it from day one.
Exactly, like, right. Like, I think Devil May Cry 5 did that kind of heinously, because there's a lot in Devil May Cry 5 that you can actually just buy. And it will automatically unlock it for you instead of playing for it. Which is very, a little bit on the nose.
I don't know. There's a part of me, I would feel unclean if I did that.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't look myself in the mirror if I was like, you know, for some people it's great. Some people don't want the arse sake of having to go through and unlock things, but I'm old school, man. I like that challenge.
I mean, when you're playing a single player game as well, right? There's no real rush to complete it or no real rush to have it. Dead by Daylight, for example, is a bit of a weird game like that because Dead by Daylight has like a lot of stuff that needs to be unlocked really for you to have like a good experience. And it's actually quite hard to get on board and into that game. And there isn't really a buy option or anything like that. That's like a weird kind of outlier of a game. And then obviously you have other games, right, where you've got cosmetics and stuff like that, which you buy in multiplayer games, so it doesn't make it unfair. But then you've got that, which is very weird because it's like a single player game. I think Ubisoft did it as well for one of the new Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah.
In that you could buy stuff like single player stuff, which I don't know. I understand, like, you know, multiplayer stuff like that and getting kind of skins and whatnot. But I don't really get like the single player thing because, like, there's no rush to play it, you know.
No. It is. It's like they've even done it before with like limited edition copies of games. Yeah. You can have like a gold suit or something like that. Yeah. There you go. And it's like, you pay an extra £20 for it, and what do you actually get? Like, you don't.
That's the thing, though. With like Devil May Cry, it's like combos and stuff like that, bro. Like, automatically unlock combos and shit to do.
Oh, what?
Yeah, exactly.
No, man. Grind. Get your red orbs and earn it.
Oh, you can buy red orbs as well.
No. What is going on? Imagine that. You just walk in a Predator. Oh, yeah. I can't be arsed. Just give me all the best gear. Yeah. And then I'll go. I'll get my honor back another time. Yeah.
Your honor is subject to how big your credit card is.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Testament of modern living, that is.
Exactly. It's a strange one, really. It's a strange one. But yeah, like Predator is just, it's a very weird, very kind of misunderstood film franchise, maybe series. I don't know. Like I said, obviously people know about it, right? It's a classic, but I don't know. I feel like it's always been an alien shadow a little bit, right, in terms of popularity. Even though, you know, they mixed them quite well together.
Yeah, I think that it's a different type of horror as well, isn't it? Yeah, I think with the alien, they are generally more scary.
It's more horror, right? More action, more horror.
And Predator is definitely, it leans more towards action.
It's more action sci-fi, isn't it? Yeah,
exactly. So they are, they're different types, you know. Kind of comparing them, I think, is unfair because they bring different things to the table.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do it just because they are natural enemies, right? And they've been pitted together in comics and films and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But they are very different species. They operate in very different ways. And it's unfair to gauge them by each other. They should be a complement, not competition.
Mm. It's definitely on my kind of like dream game list, I think, to get another game like Concrete Jungle out there. You know, I hope there's something in the pipeline for Predator, you know. Or Hunting Grounds maybe gets a free-to-play release or like a price reduction, because it's still like I said, it's still very expensive on
can't Steam justify the price, so mate.
I just can't. It's more for the players, like that's the thing. It has got good reviews on Steam, which is good, but like player count is low, and it's quite a big investment for that, you know. If it was dropped down, obviously it would get more people in. More people to play it. It does have crossplay, though, I'm told, which is pretty good. So
it's a curse, for sure, isn't it? Right, because we've seen it happen before. I mean, we'll cast our minds back to the Aliens versus Predator game, right, for the 360 PlayStation.
Oh, 3. The Rebellion one, yes.
I mean, that the multiplayer died fast on that, didn't it?
That game was wild, actually. I remember that game. I remember getting it. Remember playing it, and for like the first two weekends of playing it, you know.
It was fantastic.
Hundreds
of people.
It was on point. Games were fast, brutal. It was amazing playing the characters. It was amazing. It was even cool playing the Marines. You know, even playing the Marines wasn't that bad. And then literally after the first 2 weeks, it done died.
It done died
on its ass. Like that game completely just. Still to this day, don't know why that game died so badly, because that was obviously still kind of before I was, you know, really into kind of, I guess, the looking at game stuff on the web.
Yeah.
Even though obviously, you know, that was not like, oh, the web wasn't around, and it very much was, right? But I just wasn't obviously very clued into like looking at, you know, game media and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And game journalism outside of actually reading it in magazines. I just don't know whatever happened to that game. Like, I feel like I need to research that, because it just fucking died like so fast, and I just don't understand it.
It's not like the gameplay was bad. The gameplay was pretty decent.
No, the gameplay was solid, yeah. And
you know, like I said, the shooter elements were palatable. Obviously, it's not, you know, Battlefield COD level. No. You know, it was never going to be like that anyway, right? But the emphasis was on, you know, the different, like the game modes were really cool. You know, having the infection game mode was pretty good.
They obviously had an actual single player mode as well, didn't they? Right, there was a Predator story,
single player campaign
story, and a Marine story, which obviously weren't the most challenging things in the world, right? But were okay.
Yeah, and I mean that throws back to the classic AVP, you know, from back in the day, like the year 2000 one or whatever it was, right? That had three campaigns. It had multiplayer. It was just a modernized version of that.
Yeah,
and it did. It ticked all the right boxes. So I've never been able to figure out why that game died a death.
And again,
we're liking it to Concrete Jungle as well. I don't understand why the critics didn't like it so much, because the user reviews are insanely high. Like a lot of people have the same opinion as me and you, where we were like, this is a great game. If you're a Predator fan, this is a must.
If you're a Predator fan, it's 100% a must, right? And I feel that's partly why the fans like it quite a lot. We like it quite a lot because we like Predator. Obviously, if you like Predator, your mileage will go way further, right?
Definitely.
Way further. But even if you don't like Predator, you know, you like action games, stuff like that. You like sci-fi games. You like a bit of horror, a bit of gore mixed in. I feel like you get a lot from this game as well.
Definitely.
You know, and if you've never heard of Predator before, it could be quite a good way into the world, because the story does quite a good idea, quite a good job of kind of explaining the Predators as well, I feel.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, exactly. Especially considering that there's no dialogue from the Predators. It's all told by a narrator who happens to be Isabella,
her voice acting is really good, actually.
Yes, yeah, very good. The way she tells the story is fantastic.
She has quite a bit of a haunting voice almost, isn't she? Like it's very it's very methodical, and it's very kind of, you know, drawn out when she kind of says stuff, when she explains stuff.
Yeah, I like it. I do. I really like the way that the story is presented, because it's all told from like past tense. So it's like she's telling the story like she's been there, she's lived it, and it's quite good. And then it gets to a point then where you're kind of up to date with it, and that's when the Predator kills her. And then from that point onwards, then there's no more narration. It kind of narrates up to a certain point
to get you
kind of set. It sets the scene. You know exactly what's happening, and then you kind of take it from there. just takes his coffee.
The predator just becomes his own narrator.
Yeah, just lots of snarls and growls.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I'm not really sure what else we can say, really. It's a great game. It's an old game, and I think, well, a misunderstood game, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me and you, we can quite honestly say that it's a bit of a gem. Mm.
And I feel like that's why we gave it its own episode, right? Not one of our most longest rambling episodes, but I feel like it was deserving of a place, right? Because it is a game that we played quite a lot, obviously, growing up. We obviously quite like the Predator films as well, you know, so it was a natural one for us.
Yeah, that's it, you know, and yeah, like you said, there isn't too much to go through with it. It's kind of its own one and done standalone thing. Unless you want to go for a bonus round and we can talk some Aliens versus Predator Extinction.
Whoa, bonus round.
Bonus time.
Well, that's a game we've obviously spoke quite a bit about just on the side, you know, and we've obviously referenced it a few times in other episodes as well. Very, very weird RTS Alien Predator game that came out a very long time ago. On consoles, weirdly enough.
Not PlayStation not 2, man. You know, an Xbox. Yeah. It's like, why?
It's the prime RTS market, right, which has always been PC. It's a strange game for sure, and I feel like that game is even less likely to get a remake or anything like that than bloody Concrete Jungle is going to be. Unless, of course, that Alien game we spoke about last time is more of an RTS game, more of that kind of thing, instead of a top-down shooter, right? We still don't really know much about Dark Descent.
Yeah, I mean, it's super cryptic right now, so we've got no
idea. That could very well be some weird kind of RTS thing. I'm not too sure, you know. I don't know. That's an interesting game. We could obviously talk quite a bit about that game as well. I feel like if we did, it might descend into rambling.
I mean, to be honest, if you wanted to give it its own episode, we can always just do that.
Ooh, I could put it on the list.
it's on the list.
It's on the list.
But yeah, like it's just every instance you look at it, you just think, oh man, it was just missing something. It could have just been that little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's just, like I said, the attention and kind of how it got maybe promoted out back in the day. Because I will say something I quite like about it, which I didn't touch on already, I should have touched on it sooner, is I love the cover art.
Cover art's good. Yes,
love the cover art.
Good.
Cover art's nice. Cover art's really nice. Because it's
again,
like,
super reminiscent of Predator 2, right?
Yeah, super reminiscent of Predator 2. It looks nice because it's kind of drawn, isn't it? It's just a nice bit of artwork, like him stood on the top looking over. Like I said, it's very Predator 2, very just Predator in general. It just looks very nice. Like, the cover art is fantastic. To my knowledge as well, I don't think it had any other cover art, which is nice. So we're not going to slag off the American cover art this time.
There was no like bootleg US edition.
It's a bootleg US cover art. because this one, like I said, looks nice. He's holding the skull as well. Bit of Shakespeare there, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, yeah, we can. I think we can wrap that up there. Yeah. I would imagine.
Well, thank you ever so much, everyone, for listening to our little kind of our little deep dive on a game that's kind of close to our hearts, Predator: Concrete Jungle. We hope we've inspired you to check it out if you can get hold of it, if you can play it.
If not, plenty of YouTube material out there. You can
there's like quite a few kind of walkthroughs and playthroughs. Stuff like that. I watched in preparation for this. I watched like a bit of a walkthrough. If you still own a console, another good way to play it as well. Kind of hope that they'd maybe add it to the Xbox One, because you know Xbox has been doing that recently, haven't they? Like a lot of the classic Xbox games are being made playable on the new Xbox and the 360 ones as well.
Even PS Plus has done that now as well, to be fair.
Yeah, but once again, right, I feel like, is there really demand for this? Is there much demand for them to do it? Because they have done it with TimeSplitters 2 actually as well. You can play TimeSplitters 2 now on Xbox. Well,
I'll tell you what, listeners, let's make some noise. Let's spread the word.
Spread the gospel of Predator Concrete Jungle, on it being such a fantastic game. Everyone needs to get their hands on it.
That's it. Put your hands in the air. Start waving them about.
Praise the Predator.
Praise the Predator.
I'm a believer. No, that's just dread, isn't it?
That is dread, yeah. Again, another franchise that has been totally underwhelming in terms of films and games. We need more of it.
Dread versus Death covered it in our Halloween one, didn't we? I think ages ago.
Exactly.
Or one of our horror game ones we covered it in.
It was a little while ago. But...
Yeah. Other fantastic game that didn't get the love it deserved.
It was a game that I played at the same time as this. So I do tend to lump them together.
It is very much the same atmosphere that game as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Underutilized, I think, is the atmosphere you're looking for.
I think there was also a crossover as well between Alien Predator and Judge Dredd in the comic series. So
there is. I've got the graphic novel.
Oh, really? For the Predator one as well?
The alien story in particular is great. It's called Incubus. Really good. Ooh, nice. Really, really good. I will lend that to you. I'll lend it to you.
Classic Dread, mate.
Yeah, Dread's just
got to love Dread. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we could go on about that as well for ages, right? I feel like Dread's in a bit of a different camp because I feel like Dread's got a very big history in England, but I feel like it doesn't do very well in America because it's satire, you know.
Well, like, there we go. Another episode. Add it to the list. We'll do Dread next.
That's another one I think we could debate quite a lot about that because I think that's also, you know, controversial opinion, getting away from Predator here, but the Dread film that came out, Carl Urban one, right?
Yeah, amazing. Like was totally expecting a follow-up. Where is that? Yeah,
no, never happened, right? Never happened. Carl Urban never did it. Never happened. The producer never did it. Film didn't do well in America, right? Yeah. One, marketing was bad, I imagine. But two, I said, I just feel like Dread is not a massive deal in America like it is in England, right?
Well, it's British humor and it's a satire on
America. It's satire on America, right? So like it's already off to a bad start already for American audiences.
I imagine the kind of the general gist is, are you taking the piss, mate?
And yeah, literally. And I feel like the people in America that maybe like 2000 AD, like Just Dread, right? The comic fans are like the proper connoisseurs, you know, because of like comics in general, because obviously in America, right, when you've got DC and you've got Marvel on your doorstep, right, what's going to make you go and get this comic that's produced in England still? You know, this 2000 AD, the art style's a bit different to kind of what they're doing in Marvel and DC. The storylines are a bit weirder. It's a bit of a different concept behind a comic series, because obviously 2000 AD comics, they're more like anthologies, aren't they? Where they have different episodes and different stories and kind of each one with different characters. Yeah, not necessarily right. Just Dredd. You know, Dredd's obviously so big, he has his own comic as well, but obviously originated from the pages of 2000 AD. So when you've already got Marvel and DC, right, you've got to be a real big comic fan, really into comics, to be like, I'm going to check out, you know, 2000 AD.
Yeah.
Especially if you're an American.
I think that's probably just a British comic thing anyway, right? Because obviously 2000 AD did it. But like, even you go back to your childhood and you look at like Dandy and Beano.
They were always like a collection of different stories. Dandy and Beano.
Yeah. So it's just a British thing. Maybe our attention span isn't great, so we just need to...
I think it's just our style and just our humour, right? Because even Dandy and Beano, obviously, right, very different to 2000 AD here. Very different. Way more of actually a kid's thing rather than 2000 AD.
And there's nothing to do with Predator, but sure. And we'll
do Predator once again, but comics, same kind of vein. Like that. That in itself is also sort of an anthology thing. Maybe it's just how we structure our comics, you know? We just have this style. America has their style, right?
Got to stick to just one story.
Because the way Marvel and, you know, DC Comics are done, right, is you can see how they're set out, right? It's very by the books. It's very, they've got a way of doing it, right, compared to how we have a way of doing it. Like if you read a 2000 AD comic and you read a Marvel DC comic, right, you can see the differences quite heavily.
Very different.
In the writing, in the penmanship and stuff like that. But in all fairness, I have seen in recent time, right, there's been quite a few 2000 AD artists that have gone on to work in Marvel and stuff like that, which is kind of cool to see.
That is pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah. So it's responsible.
So a lot of them could end up working on that Predator comic after all, couldn't they?
Potentially, yeah. Like I said, I haven't looked too much into that. Where it does look quite good, and I'm actually tempted to pick it up when it comes out.
You should have a gander, mate.
Yeah, I've been keeping my eye on it, and it was originally meant to come out in like June and in July, and now it says August on Marvel's website. So I'm not sure what's happened to that. Yeah, here's hoping it's still going forward because the cover art looks really cool for it. And it's already cover up for number two as well, issue two. So I assume it's going to happen.
Nice.
Be a good one to talk about.
That would, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Comic section. We'll do a comic section there to go along with.
We'll be on it like a baby bonnet, mate.
To go along with our sometimes film review section, sometimes comic review section.
Well, this is it. We have to diversify, mate. We can't just stay with games, you know.
Diversify.
That's it. It's just going to be like a nerd channel instead of just games.
Pop culture.
Games is our bread and butter, and then we can start to branch out every now and again. You know?
Speaking of branching out, actually speaking of films, one more thing before we close out this episode. Four's out now.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I'm going to go see it tomorrow, mate. So.
I can't see it tomorrow, so I'm gonna hold off on the spoilers.
I'll hold. When you've seen it, though, look forward to seeing that in another Newsreel episode.
Good man.
We will most definitely cover that one because I think we got quite a good response from covering Doctor Strange. So I feel like doing that was really nice. So we'll cover four again as well.
To be fair, we could always in the next episode as well. We could probably talk a little bit about Obi-Wan as well.
We haven't spoken about Obi-Wan, have we? Yeah.
So I mean, we spoke about a lot of our hype leading up to it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. We could do like a bit of a
run over that now. Yeah,
that could be quite cool. I like the sound of it. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, until next time, folks, thank you very much for listening as always.
Thank you ever so much, everyone.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.